Well, we're going to read the Bible now, and we're reading from the book of Isaiah and chapter 53. Isaiah and chapter 53. In fact, it's only 12 verses long, so we're going to read the whole of the chapter. So this is Isaiah chapter 53, and I'm beginning to read at the first verse. Let's hear the word of God. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. We thank God for the reading of his word. The verse that I'd like us to consider together this morning is just one verse from that wonderful chapter in Isaiah. It's Isaiah 53, and it is verse 5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. I imagine that for many of us here, that is not an unfamiliar verse. We might even have sung that verse in various hymns. And I'm sure that Isaiah chapter 53 is a chapter that many of us are very familiar with. But this verse contains truth that is absolutely essential for us to know, to believe, and to act on. You know, being a grandparent, and I am in that wonderful category right now, it's a very challenging business, isn't it, being a grandparent? Because children, especially round about 3, 4, 5, they've got lots of questions. And they expect grandparents to know all the answers to all the questions in the world and to have infinite time to be able to answer them. What is inside your bones? I don't really know. We better get a book and find out. Why does the tide go out and come in again? Well, it's got something to do with the moon and gravity. Yeah, but why? Where does the wind come from? And what makes the wind? Now, some of these are just a few of the difficult questions that I've been asked over the last couple of weeks. And very often I say, well, I don't really know. And then the more you go on in life and the older you get, the more you realise that there are whole areas that you don't know anything about at all. You know, when you're young, you think you know everything. And then as you get older, you realise that there's so many things that you just simply don't know anything about at all. And you think, well, how important is it for us to know these things? What are the most important things that all of us need to know about? And you know, it seems from reading the Bible that there are really two things that everyone needs to know about. More than anything else, we can go through our lives not knowing about what's inside our bones or where the wind comes from or even about the tides. We can still enjoy the world without knowing those things. But there are two things that we need to know about. It's crucial. We need to understand ourselves. And we need to know about God. Those are the two great things. To understand yourself and to know God. And that's what this verse is actually all about. Because it's in the Bible that we find the answers to these great questions. Isn't it sad then that so few people actually open the Bible in order to discover these great truths? They're there for all to read and to know. And yet so often the Bible is kept closed. I like to listen to Desert Island Discs on the radio, where people are asked to choose the records that they would take with them when they go onto this desert island. And I love to hear the very end of the program, because at the end of the program, they are told that they are allowed to choose one book to take with them, and they're allowed to choose one luxury as well. I'm always interested in the book. But before we get to the book, the presenter always says, now on the desert island, you've already got the Bible and the works of Shakespeare. So what other book would you like? And very few people comment on the fact that there'll be a Bible there. I remember Ian Paisley made a good comment. He said, I'd like to have my own version of the Bible. And he chose a sort of 10-volume version of the Bible to have on the island. But someone who's not a Christian, Lee Mack, the actor, this is what he said. Long time ago now, I think it was around about 2012, 2013. He said this, I'm glad you get the Bible because I would read the Bible. I think it's quite odd that people like myself in their 40s, quite happy to dismiss the Bible, but I've never read it. I always think that if an alien came down and you were the only person they met, and they said, what's life all about? What's Earth about? Tell us everything. And you said, well, there's a book here that purports to tell you everything. Some people believe it to be true. Some people do not believe it to be true. Wow, what's it like? And you go, I don't know. I've never read it. It would be an odd thing, wouldn't it? So, at the very least, read it. I don't know whether he has read the Bible, but those were very wise words, weren't they? Here's a book that we have that purport to tell you everything about life and the world and the future and the past and you and God. And yet so often it's remained closed and never read. Perhaps it's because what it says we don't really want to hear naturally. Perhaps that's part of the reason. Because when you start to read the Bible, you discover things about yourself. The Bible, as James tells us in his book, is like a mirror. And when you look into the Bible, you are seeing yourself. And what you see is not pleasant. And perhaps that's part of the difficulty with the Bible. But you see, we have to get to grips with that first. We need to first of all understand ourselves before we can begin to appreciate the greatness of what God has done for us in Jesus. And so that's what this chapter is all about. It's about us and it's about Jesus. It begins with a question. This chapter begins with a question that is full of wonder and bewilderment and puzzlement. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Who could possibly believe this? Again, that's another reason why people perhaps reject the Bible after just approaching it and taking a little look into it. They say, well, these things are unbelievable. Who's going to believe this? If we tell them, who's going to possibly believe this? It seems unbelievable, doesn't it? Who has believed our message? Well, we need God to reveal himself to us in the Bible, which is why when we open our Bibles, we also need to pray, don't we? That God would help us to understand it, that he would give light to our minds so that we might understand this word. The Holy Spirit, God, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit inspired the Bible, and he is the one who can help us in our understanding of it. So we do need to pray that God will reveal these things to us. Because it's a mystery, isn't it? Verse 2. He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. What a mystery this is. That someone should come into the world and grow up and just appear to be a nobody. Nothing to really attract us to him. That's Jesus when he came into the world. There wasn't very much about him that people said, oh, wow, that's definitely God's son. He's the Messiah. No, there was nothing about Jesus really that would attract us to him. He was someone who didn't have a majesty about him. He didn't look much like a king, did he? When he was in that carpenter's workshop, when he was walking Galilee, going down to Jerusalem, there was nothing to attract us to him. In fact, verse 3, he was despised and rejected by men. How could that possibly be? That one who had been sent from God into this world should be unrecognized and actually despised and rejected. But when we get to verse 4, we begin to see it has something to do with his people's sins. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. Oh, says Isaiah, this is the problem. You see, he was taking on himself our sins. That is why he seemed to be nothing at all. That's why he was despised. That's why he was rejected. Because actually he was bearing our sins. So what we need to know then is something about ourselves, something about Jesus. We need to know something about our sins. And then we need to know something about Jesus's sufferings. So first of all, this morning, Let's see what our verse tells us about our sins. The verse describes our sins in four different ways. Transgressions is the first word. Iniquities is the second word. A lack of peace is the third description. And disease is the fourth. Transgressions, iniquities, a lack of peace, and disease. This is what we need to know about ourselves. Transgression. Isaiah begins by thinking about sin in terms of the things that we do that are wrong. I imagine that that's how we all begin to think about sin. From a very young age, we realize that there are things that we do that are wrong. We discover that they're wrong because we get told off. We discover that they're wrong because we get punished. And so we realize we've done something that is wrong. And as we get older, even though we try to cover up our wrongdoing, we know that we do things that are wrong. We say things that are wrong. Our actions are wrong. Transgression. That's what the word is. And so that's where Isaiah begins to deal with our human condition. We do things that are wrong. Transgression really means stepping over the mark, doesn't it? You transgress when you walk somewhere that you shouldn't walk, where you go through a barrier that says no entry, forbidden, but you go through it anyway and you've crossed over that line and you've transgressed. Someone has told you don't go there and yet you do go there. And that is sin. God has set the boundary line and says, don't do that. The Ten Commandments are there quite clearly to say, do not do this. Do this, but don't do this. And every time we do those things that God says, you shall not, we're transgressing his commandments. We are doing things that are wrong. And all of us sin. We all commit acts that are wrong. Our life and our conduct are wrong before God. So the first word is transgressions. But we need to go a bit deeper than that and ask, why do we do that? Because it's interesting, isn't it, that even from a very young age, we don't have to teach children to do wrong things. We have to encourage them to do the right things. So there is something inbuilt that automatically encourages us to do wrong things. And that's why Isaiah uses the second word, iniquity. Iniquity goes a bit deeper than just the things that we do. Iniquity is to do with our minds. It's to do with the way that we think. People would say today it's the way that we're wired, the way that we are hardwired. It's a way of saying, well, you know, I can't help it. And we try to say that. I can't help it. That's just the way that I am. Well, what are we? Well, this word iniquity means twistedness or perversity. It's what lies behind our transgressions. It's the reason why we overstep the mark. We step out of line with God's law. It's to do with the way that we think. There's a twist in our nature. We're out of line with God's law and God's will. We're morally misaligned. You know how it is when sometimes you take your car to be checked and you want them to check the tyres and you think everything's okay. It looks like you've got some good tread on your tyres. And then the mechanic comes over and says, I'm really sorry, but you know, the inside edge of your tyre is almost completely bald. How can that be? It looks like it's got really good tread on the outside. Oh, yeah, but the problem is you've got a bit of misalignment there. You need your tracking sorted out. Oh, right. So ever so slightly, those wheels have been misaligned, haven't they? And because of that, they're wearing. And they're wearing unevenly because they're just not aligned correctly. And it's like that with us as human beings. We're misaligned. God's law says go straight, and we are slightly twisted. Some more than others, of course. But all of us have this twist, this perversity, this iniquity. And that means that our actions are wrong because the way that we think is wrong. Our iniquity, our twistedness. But then that leads to a third way of describing sin. Because you say, well, why? Why is it like that? Why do we think like this? Why do human beings think and do the wrong things? Well, the problem is a problem of the heart. That's the trouble. It's a problem of the heart. The problem is that we do not have peace with God. Our hearts are not right with God. The actions are wrong because the mind is twisted. And the mind is twisted because the heart is not right with God. We're separated from God. And therefore, we do not have that peace with God that we need. And this absence of peace in our hearts shows that we are essentially rebels. Rebels against God. You know, all of us at one time or other have rebelled. Maybe it was against our parents and we've said, I will not go that way. I will not do that. Or maybe it's against some other authority in our lives and we say, I won't do that. Because essentially in our hearts, we don't want to go that way. And that's a problem with all of us. That's what Isaiah is saying here. It's what God is saying. Why do we commit transgressions? Well, because we're filled with iniquity. Why are we filled with iniquity? Because we have no peace with God. We're separated from him in our heart. But then we can go one step deeper still. Because Isaiah finishes the verse by saying that we need to be healed. And that indicates that we have a disease, a spiritual disease. There is something that needs healing in us. Yes, the actions are wrong, the mind is wrong, the heart is wrong. Why? Because our whole body is wrong. Our whole being is wrong. Our whole nature is wrong. Isaiah puts this in a picture form in his very first chapter in his book. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 4, we read this. Ah, sinful nation, a people loaded with guilt, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on him. You see where Isaiah is going here? There's this rebellion of heart. There's this problem that is deep down in our beings. It's not just that we do bad things occasionally. It is that we ourselves are sinners. You see, we sin because we're sinners. It's not the sin that makes us guilty. It is the fact that we are already sinners that causes the sin, and the sin is there because we are sinners before God. We've turned our backs on God, all of us. Every single one of us has turned our backs on God. We've forsaken the Lord. Now see how Isaiah describes our condition. Verse 5 of chapter 1. Why should you be beaten anymore? Why do you persist in rebellion? Your whole head is injured, your whole heart afflicted. From the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness, only wounds and bruises and open sores, not cleansed or bandaged or soothed with oil. Isaiah is describing a whole body being completely affected by a disease. But he's not talking about a physical disease. He's talking about our spiritual condition. He's talking about what we are before God, that we ourselves are spiritually diseased and sinners. We don't, in our churches, we don't use a book of prayers, but in the Anglican Church, there is, even now, occasionally, something called the General Confession. And this comes from the version I'm going to share with you, comes from the 1923 Book of Common Prayer, but it goes right back to 1662. This is a prayer to be said by the whole congregation every service. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. You see the depth of understanding that there is in that simple prayer of confession. We've erred, we've done wrong. That's transgression, isn't it? We've strayed like lost sheep. You know how the sheep go all over the place, don't they? You just go down to the gower and you can see them all. And they're wandering around everywhere. And that's like us. We have strayed from the ways of God. We've followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. The problem is a heart problem, you see. But it goes deeper than that still. There is no health in us. And so there was a real understanding of human nature. And that's the reason why we behave the way we do. That's the reason why other people behave the way that they do. We need to have an understanding of this. We look out at a world of dreadful wickedness and you say, well, why? Why are people like that? Well, this is why. But you need to ask the question, why am I like I am? You say, I'm not as bad as them. Well, praise God if you're not as bad as them. Because not all of us are as bad as we possibly could be. That's only by the grace of God, even that, isn't it? But why are we like this? Because we have this deep down disease of heart and spirit. We're sinners. We're sinners. So that's the first thing, and we really do need to understand that and pray that God will show us ourselves. A long time ago, when people used to have servants in their houses, a minister came to visit the house and there was a servant girl. And the servant girl said to the minister, I really would like to be a Christian. I'd like to know more. So he said, well, I'll just give you one simple prayer to pray. He says, I want you to pray this every day. Lord, show me myself. And she prayed that prayer. And by the time the minister came back again, she said, I've prayed that prayer and I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I'm not right with God. Right, he said, here's another prayer to pray. Lord, show me thyself. Show me yourself. And she prayed that prayer too. Well, what will we discover if we do pray that prayer? Well, we need to see what else Isaiah says. He's described our own sinfulness in four words, but now he describes the Lord Jesus Christ's sufferings again in four words. First of all, he was pierced. Now, just as our transgressions are outward, so the piercing of the Lord Jesus was outward, wasn't it? He was pierced by the thorns in his brow. He was pierced by the sword and spear in his side. He was pierced for our transgressions. There was a violence against the Lord Jesus, but he was pierced for our transgressions. Because we have done wrong, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered. He was pierced, struck with rods, scourged with a whip that tore into his skin, pierced with thorns, nails driven into his hands. He was wounded. He was bruised. He was pierced for our transgressions in our place. Our transgressions deserve that. We deserve to be punished by God, and yet Jesus was pierced instead of us. He was pierced for our transgressions. The second word that Isaiah used is the word crushed. Some older versions, bruised. Bruised, crushed. I think crushed is a better word. He was crushed for our iniquities. That twistedness in our minds Well, the Lord Jesus was crushed mentally because of our iniquities. The weight of our sins was upon the Lord. His sufferings were more than just outward physical sufferings. There was an inward crushing of his spirit, of his mind. Think of him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And there he is, asking the Father, if it's possible for this cup to be taken from me, then let it be so, but not my will, yours be done. What was that cup? It was a cup that he knew he had to drink, and it was a cup that was filled with ingredients that were all painful for him. There was going to be rejection. There was going to be bitterness there in that cup. There was going to be punishment there for sins in that cup. All that he had to go through was represented in terms of a cup that he had to take and drink. And as he did so, it would crush him. And even though it was a very cold night, because later on that evening, Peter would warm himself around a fire, even though it was a very, very cold night, yet the Lord Jesus began to sweat in the Garden of Gethsemane. And his sweat came through his skin like great drops of blood. That indicates not just external pressure, that indicates that there was an internal pressure that was forcing out this sweat through his skin. He was crushed. Why? For our iniquities, not his own. He was the only person who has ever lived in this world who had never transgressed God's law and who was not born with this twistedness in the mind. And yet he took on himself the punishment by being crushed for our iniquities. Our sin was placed on him. The third phrase that Isaiah uses is punishment, or chastised. Punishment. Because we do not have peace with God, the Lord Jesus was chastised. He was punished. You know, discipline is important, isn't it, within a family. But it's like the Lord Jesus is our elder brother, and he steps in instead of us and says, I will take the punishment. I know that my brothers and sisters, they're the ones who have done wrong. I know that their hearts are rebellious. I know that they've stepped out of line. But I'm going to stand in their place and take that punishment that they deserve. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. It's because of Jesus's punishment on the cross of Calvary. It's because Jesus bore that punishment for us that we can now have peace with God. That's the glorious news. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one who, like the Passover lamb, was taken and hands were placed on it to transfer guilt to the lamb, so that the lamb dies instead of the worshipper. And that's what happens with the Lord Jesus. He dies instead of us. And then finally, Isaiah says, by his wounds we are healed. And surely in this word wounds, he's embracing all that happened to the Lord Jesus, his body on the cross of Calvary, having gone through all that pain, all that suffering, mental anguish, crushing, the scourging, the piercing, and finally his body racked and painful on the cross of Calvary, giving his life for us. All those wounds. And he says, by his wounds we are healed. It is by the death of the Lord Jesus that we are made right with God, that we are reconciled to God. The Lord Jesus has dealt with our sins completely. His sufferings were for us. And this is what we need to know. We need to know about ourselves and our sinfulness, and we need to know about the Lord Jesus and what he has done for us. I read to you earlier from the Book of Common Prayer. There is a prayer that comes immediately after that. And it is quite a wonderful thing, that first of all, you have this prayer where the congregation says, we've erred, we've strayed from thy ways like lost sheep, we've followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts, we've offended against thy holy laws, we've left undone those things that we ought to have done, and we've done those things that we ought not to have done. There is no health in us. And then after that prayer, there is another prayer. And this time, the minister says, Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who desires not the death of a sinner, but rather that he may turn from his wickedness and live. He goes on to say, he pardons and absolves all those who truly repent and unfeignedly believe his holy gospel. Wherefore, let us beseech him to grant us true repentance and his Holy Spirit. You see, what can we do? We're sinners. The Bible has told us that. Isaiah, 700 years or so before the Lord Jesus ever came, he described it. So what can we do? Well, what we can do is to ask for this forgiveness, because God pardons and absolves all who truly repent and truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to repent and we need to believe. And when we do, we discover that we are justified by faith and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So while there's lots of things that we need to know in this world, and we can know, there's many things that we can study and many things that make this life a wonderful life, there are two things that every one of us desperately needs to know, and only the Word of God will tell you. Number one, you and I are sinners before God. We are rebels, and we are separated from our God because of our sins. But number two, Jesus is a great Saviour. And he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we're healed. That's the gospel. And wonderful it is too. Do you know that? If there's anyone here who does not yet know that, then I will plead with you to pray those two simple prayers. Lord, show me myself. Lord, show me yourself. And repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless his word to every one of us.